If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Let the church of Christ say, amen. The words of Peter in 1 Peter 4:11. And Peter's basic premise is, when you stand and speak, speak what thus saith the Lord. Quite frankly, your opinion is as good as mine. It's not about what's polling, what's trending, what's customary to you. It is about God's word. And if we are to ever grow as children of God, those words are going to ring loudly as we look at a parable that Jesus spoke and shared. He gave three parables prior to this one in response to being criticized. Get this, saints. Jesus was criticized for hanging out with sinners. Jesus the Christ, who through the foreknowledge, that's knowledge before we even existed, through the foreknowledge of God, who was preordained, chosen before, Jesus Christ, in Luke 15, get that for me, brother, Luke 15, I was one and two, was criticized for eating with, he wasn't just keeping company, Jesus was sitting down eating with sinners. Oh my God. And I mean no harm, but I want us to be clear on this. Good morning. I just feel like preaching today. I'm going to cut right to the chase. I won't be up here long, but we're going to go ahead and just, because this is a strong medicine today. Because Jesus does a couple things here with this parable. And I want to give you some context. Before we look at our lesson text, we're going to talk about stewardship. You're going to know what stewardship is. You're going to recognize what's required of stewards today. And you will also be taught through the word of God how we can apply and be better stewards as children of God. In Luke chapter 15, let's give me verse 1 and 2. I want to give you the pretext before we get into the context. Read.
Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him.
So then drew near him, then drew near Jesus, the publicans, tax collectors, and they were looked at as low-class people, and the sinners to hear him. Read.
And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying,
so the holy folk, the religious, those who knew the old law, who became self-righteous, had issues with Jesus. So if you look at Luke 15, and I want to just make sure, because we're gonna hasten to our text, but I just can't stress enough, and I'm turning there myself, Gail, just to read alongside you, brother. Then drew near him unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Opportunity, key word today. Opportunity. You may want to write that down. Do we seize opportunities? And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man does what?
Receiveth sinners.
This man receiveth, keepeth company with sinners. If we are to be holy, let's just stay, hang around only holy folk.
And eateth with them.
This man not only keeps company with sinners, but he even sits down and eats a meal with sinners. Come on. Well, that's all we need. And then he said, verse 3, it says, and he spake this parable unto them. Y'all see that in verse 3? And he spake this parable unto them, saying. Now, we don't have time to go through those parables, but they're very familiar. In Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 4, Jesus spake a parable about a lost sheep. Then he spake another parable about a lost coin. Lost sheep, 100 of them, 99 are good. He goes to find that one. Amen, if you understand that. Then he talks about a woman who lost a coin. She had 10 pieces of silver, and she swept that house, and she lit a candle, and she diligently sought that one lost coin. Then he gave another parable. So you got a lost sheep, a lost coin. Then he gave a parable about a father with two sons. The younger one, why is this always the younger one? The younger one. Y'all miss that. The younger one, prodigal, means wayward. The father had an inheritance, and you know, the prodigal son, he wasted his inheritance with riotous, not to be, I know one time my brother read that, it was like righteous living. No, riotous living. It was reckless. So Jesus gave that parable. And the one that was at home doing what he needed to do was angry because the daddy went out to, well, he welcomed back with open arms and tears and rejoicing. the prodigal son. So Jesus' response to criticism on spending time keeping company, even eating with sinners, was he gave him parables about, that's an opportunity to get it. There's one sheep, one coin, one out of 100 sheep, one out of 10 coins, and a son who was wayward and reckless. Then we go to Luke 16. Turn your Bibles there. And give me the first few words. And in your Bibles, Gail, probably is, give me just the words in black. Watch this.
And he said also unto his disciples.
That's all I want. And so in addition to the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son, Jesus says, and he said also unto, and in addition to that, so contextually, what we are talking about is Jesus' response through parabolic teaching. A parable is simply, there is some practical things taught that people could understand to make a bigger, deeper, more spiritual point. Or as you all heard it, it's been taught, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Both are applied. Whatever works best for you. So what was your point, Jesus? A lost sheep, there's joy in heaven over one. Opportunity seized. A lost coin. A lost sheep. It's so interesting. A lost sheep. Sheep is one of the dumbest animals in the animal kingdom. So a sheep that's lost may or may not know it's lost. Where's everybody else? But a shepherd's got to go get it. Sheep knows it's lost but can't find its way home. A lost coin. A coin doesn't know it's lost and can't find its way home. Y'all all right? A lost son knew he was lost and knew his way home. So Jesus in Luke 16, our lesson text, let's go into it right now. Luke 16, he said also unto his disciples, and if you didn't get the sheep, the point of the lost sheep, the point of the lost coin, or the point of the lost son, the prodigal son, he also said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. Drive with me, Gail.
And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods.
So now Jesus gives yet another parable. And now get this down now. All in a row. Lost sheep, lost coin, prodigal, wayward son, unjust steward. It is amazing to hear Bible study folks talk about, and I say Bible study folks, even some Christians, look at this parable and say, that's confusing. No, it's not confusing at all. Because why would Jesus give us a parable of an unjust steward? Wouldn't it be more appropriate, make more logical sense or rationale to give a parable of a faithful steward? So Jesus goes right into his disciples. There's a certain rich man which had a steward. You're going to know what a steward means in a minute. And the same, the steward, was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Read.
And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward.
So Jesus is now giving us a parable of an unjust steward, a wasteful steward. And this steward, our lesson text, the master heard that, hey, this steward's been wasteful. And you got to give an account because you mayest no longer be steward. You're about to get fired because you're wasteful. So three key points today. We hit three and then that'll be it. And put them in order there. Stewardship, the basics. I want you to understand what stewardship means from a biblical standpoint and practical standpoint. We're going to analyze this parable of the unjust steward. And then there's a commendation. Someone is actually complimented. So unjust steward and getting a commendation. How does that work? Stay tuned. Commendation and our application. Remember the global context. This is part of Jesus' response to Pharisees criticizing him for keeping company with sinners. And I will make a statement now. I'll make a statement at the end of this lesson as well. Don't let our holiness get in the way of humanity. If people can't deal with us, be around you, feel comfortable around you, how can you teach them the gospel? People criticize the Lord's church because they say, I got to get right before I can come into contact with you, all you perfect people. Many times I've been told, and Rick has been told, we've been together on many of these occasions, to people have this predisposition, this assumption, presumption, that everybody here, and sometimes we act like it, that we're perfect. And this facade, and sometimes it's a facade, because we may be rotten inside, the facade of just, I just want to be holy. And again, holiness is awesome. Amen. I'm not speaking against holiness. I should be sitting down. I'm going to speak against holiness. But we want to make sure we're human. Jesus was criticized by religious folk for sitting and keeping company with sinners. Steward, okonomos, Greek word. But it means to be a manager. Steward means to be an overseer. An overseer in an employment capacity. Give you an example. I always use this example. I was in high school, Toledo, Ohio, worked at Frisch's Big Boy. That's a big boy restaurant. Had this little chubby kid, a big boy, but a chubby kid out front holding a hamburger. Triple decker. Big boy restaurants. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. They don't have them down here. But I was a waiter. And then from time to then, I worked the ice cream shop. Had a little green, had a little white derby. Cool. White derby and had a green apron. That cool part was out of my lesson notes. But I had to work the cash register. And I'd never seen that kind of money before in my life. But I was a steward. That wasn't my money. I don't know what you're thinking, but I didn't do anything. My register was on point. If I was down a penny, I would make sure we had penny on the side, you know, because that's what you do. We had to do an audit every night. We had to give an account every night. At shift change, they turn a little key, print out a long receipt. You should have $1,520.02. I said, count it. You couldn't leave. You couldn't go home until you gave the account. Y'all all right? So I had oversight of that cash register. All my ice cream sales, my jelly, they had them jelly bellies. I sold jelly bellies and all that. You know, so that was my job. So a steward is a manager, an overseer in an employment capacity. You have oversight, but it's still not yours. Household administrator, you manage the affairs of somebody else. And so a couple of scriptures in there, I can't exhaust it on stewardship to make sure everybody is clear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and Brother Ferraris, if you have that, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll begin reading at verse 1. What is it? So when you see the word steward, you don't have to know the Greek word, but you have it for your studying, oikonomos, but a manager who manages the affairs of someone else, a manager, an overseer, akin to an employee. Everybody all right? So in 1 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 1, what does the Bible say?
Let a man so account of us.
Let a man so account of us. Paul writing the Church of Christ of Corinth. Let a man so account of us, children of God.
As of the ministers of Christ.
As of the ministers of Christ. Ministers means translated servant. And we're servants of Christ. Come on.
And stewards of the mysteries of God.
So we as children of God are servants, minister. That's not a title. Servant. We're servants of Christ. And we're also stewards. We're managers. We are administrators, if you will. We have a responsibility to manage the mysteries of God. We preached last week, Ephesians 3, the mystery's been revealed. Jew and Gentile alike in one body in one church. So we have a responsibility. But what is there a requirement of a steward? Read. Think about that cash register at shift change. You have to give an account. Read.
Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
So a couple require, what is a steward? A manager of the affairs of someone else. It's not your stuff, but you have an administrative responsibility over it. Amen? What's required of a steward? It's like your quick review here. What's required in a steward? One, you got to be faithful. And what's also required in a steward is you got to give an account. This is all important before we go to 1 Corinthians 16. Give an example. Elders have an over. We elders are overseers. But the church is not ours. Titus chapter 1, beginning at verse number 7. Gail, you have it. Titus chapter 1 and verse 7. See, this speaks to eldership. We're overseers, a bishop, pastors. We have a responsibility and requirements. Read.
For a bishop must be blameless.
Bishop must be blameless.
As the steward of God.
So a bishop as overseers of God, we have a responsibility to oversee this flock. There may be things we say that you may not like. We have a responsibility as administrators. You may not like some things your boss says on the job. But the bottom line, in the Lord's church, you know, as we look at scriptures, this is it. Amen. So imagine a congregation doesn't have elders. And it's just a preacher. Now, you may not have brothers that qualify at that time, but we've encouraged brothers around South Florida. And sadly, I'll say it publicly, many are not inclined to have an eldership. That speaks to some other issues. But a bishop, to be clear, and let me stay focused, must be blameless. Come on.
As the steward of God.
As a steward, administrator, manager, household administrator of God. We manage the household of God, but it's not our house. Read.
Not self-willed.
In other words, you know, overbearing. Basically, you got other scriptures that make that up. Not lording over the flock. That's why we have to always say, you know what? Pray for us. I come in here like some kings. Because, you know, we see this in current events. When a man or a woman wants to be treated like they're a king, like the world revolves around them, you're going to have some problems. I'll leave that there. Self-willed or overbearing by translation.
Not soon angry.
Not soon angry. You can't be just like, boom, just like that. You got to be temperate. Can't be soon angry. I mean, you don't get angry because anger is not a sin. Ephesians 4:20. Amen, saints. Be angry. But you don't want to be quick, you know, so quick-tempered. We got to be temperate. Not soon angry.
Not given to wine.
I'm talking about elders. Read.
No striker.
No, not violent. No striker. It's like, so imagine being soon angry, drunk, and ready to swing. And you say, that's my elder right there. It's the qualifications of an elder. No striker. And one more.
Not given to filthy lucre.
Not greedy for financial gain. But a steward. So the reason I share this with you, and I can't exhaust all the scriptures on stewardship, I want to give you one more, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. But a steward is one who manages the affairs of another, and is an administrator, as of someone else's household. But you got to be faithful, and you have to give an account. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10.
As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another.
Now that gift is a gift of grace in context. Peter talks about the fiery trial that's going to try us. He talks about the grace of God that we receive. And in 1 Peter 4 and 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister, even so serve, come on.
One to another.
The same one to another.
As good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
As good stewards. What are we stewards of? The manifold grace of God. Now, this speaks to our behavior. But now, we're about to make this turn now. We've checked the box on part one. Everybody know what steward is? Just say amen if you know. That's good. Y'all been listening very well. Must be the weather. It's good. We're stewards of God's grace. So when you think about God's grace, if you receive something you didn't deserve, how will you act? You ever give somebody a good tip? I hope y'all give people tips. I used to be a waiter, so I'm very biased. And so give people a tip. I want to pray for y'all. Some of y'all don't tip people. Y'all need to have a meeting with the eldership this week. Because people work hard. And imagine, so I can tell, and I let people know. Because see, sometimes people, they do put the service charge in automatic. I'm like, you're shorting yourself now. You need to have some faith in me. I used to do what you did. The restaurant last night in a meeting. But my point is, when you got something you didn't deserve, let's say you had a terrible waiter or waitress. I'm sure you all have had poor service. Sadly. And you give them a $100 tip. Some of y'all are like, okay, so y'all don't respond that way to the word. You give them a $100 tip, and they would look, knowing they didn't deserve it, and they look at you like, walk you to the car, do whatever. But so we didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve grace. So as ministers, servants, and as stewards of the affairs of God, that's why we need to get back to Jesus' point. I'm sitting down with some sinners. I'm not condoning their lifestyle, but I'm seizing an opportunity to build a relationship. Here we go. Because I didn't deserve the grace, and who are we to say they don't? Stay right there. That's exactly where I want y'all. We're stewards of the manifold grace of God. The overflowing grace of the manifold. They talk about the panoply of God, just the manifold, the ongoing, the ever-flowing, the superfluity, the exceeding grace of God. Give you all kinds of synonyms. And so we manage so we don't deserve. We got that quote-unquote $100 tip, $1 million tip. How about this? Priceless tip. We didn't deserve. So how are we to behave with those who don't have? And so we've been instructed through God's word. Two types of discipline, a reminder from last week. Two types of discipline, instructive and corrective. I'm putting both on the screen because it's going to be important. So instructive is you're told what to do. It's like coaching. Here's run the play. Here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. And so instructive discipline, you're told verbally or in writing what to do, how to do it. And if you fail to do so, back to accountability of a steward, then there's punishment. And there's something called progressive discipline. It could be a fine, a physical discipline, jail. So now I got to give you a word. And please, saints of God, taught this parable a lot, preached it a lot, taught in Bible school a lot, workshops, whatever. But this is a word we need to know as Christians. Shrewdness. But let's break this thing down. I'm going to stay here for a minute. To be shrewd is the ability to understand and to judge a situation quickly. Now, one of my favorite topics in business is situational leadership. If the building is on fire, and it's not, some of y'all, if the building's on fire and I sign up here, Ricker comes up here and says, get out. That's the situation calls for that response. Amen? Now imagine we come in here and that's a response. So imagine coming up here and saying, well, ladies, brothers and sisters, good morning. I'm building on fire now. Good morning. Hope everybody's well. You see flames come behind me and everything. Some of y'all wouldn't be sitting here anyway. Y'all be gone. But bear with me in this illustration. If you're so inclined, please make your way to the exits. That's a little mellow and doesn't fit the situation, to say the least. You see one of your loved ones walking out in the street and there's a car coming really fast. They don't see it. Would you say, you're probably going to scream, right? Get back. The situation calls for that. So shrewdness. Couple examples, illustrations, and let's get into it. The ability to understand and judge a situation quickly and to use this understanding to your own advantage. I don't want my family member to get hit by a car. Lenny, step back. Lenny, watch out. The situation calls for a quick response. And brothers and sisters, this may hurt, but I got to tell it. We're not as quick as we need to be. Let's break down shrewdness. To be astute, keen awareness. This is surgical now. We speak, and we live in a world that speaks in gray, and everything is so broad. But Jesus is breaking this thing down. Jesus is being surgical with this parable. I gave you a lost sheep. I gave you a lost coin. I gave you a prodigal son. Now, in addition to that, I'm going to talk about an unjust steward. And this steward was shrewd. I'll say it now. I'll say it again because I don't want you to miss it. Because I'm always asked, did Jesus compliment the man for his dishonesty? Of course not. He didn't give a parable about dishonesty to talk about the benefits of being dishonest. No. Amen? So to be shrewd means that you can read a situation, judge a situation, and then respond quickly. It means to be astute. You have keen awareness. It means to be clever. You need to be sharp. Opposite of this is aloof. Things going on around your kids, you know, jumping up on top of the building. You're like, I wonder where my kids are. You might see my kids. Be aware. Intelligent sense of the practical. Intelligent sense of the practical. This is where we get into trouble as Christians. I put trouble in quotes because people are like, who are you? Who are you people? Peculiar doesn't mean weird. Peculiar means you don't understand it. Somebody's like, okay, one baptism, one church. How can everybody fit into one church? I don't understand that. Teach them. Teach them. We got to be, people need to be comfortable around us. Y'all all right? Mm-hmm. I hope you have an understanding of shrewdness, because now we got to get into the text. Let's go to the parable of unjust steward. I'll read for time's sake. Luke 16. You say amen if you're there. Mm-hmm. It's on the screen for your benefit as well. Let's rewrite a little bit. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. You know what a steward is now. The oikonomos, his manager. He managed his household. He managed his affairs. He was an administrator. And the same, the steward, was accused unto him, unto his lord, his master, that he had wasted his goods. This man is robbing you blind. This man is wasteful. And he called him, he being the lord, the master, the owner, called the steward. He called unto him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account. What does a steward have to do? 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Steward has to give an account. Steward must be found faithful. Amen. If you understand that. We're putting a puzzle together now. You must give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. You are about to get fired. Last night, and regardless of the fact that the Cowboys beat the Raiders, that's not the important point. It's only a preseason game. Love you, brother. But those were fourth and fifth stringers. Really, it's an interview for another team because they're about to get cut. All of them getting cut. What's my point with that? When you know you're about to get fired, what do you do? Now, don't answer that out loud. Some people do some crazy stuff. But look at the context. If I find out that you wasted my stuff, you've been a wasteful steward, you will be put out of the stewardship. You will be fired. Then the steward said within himself, y'all with me? Verse 3. Then the steward said within himself, here comes the shrewdness. Listen, pay attention, please. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. He didn't say, I'm going to keep my job. He was wasteful. He was unjust. That's why it's the parable of the unjust steward. There is no question. And this is where it's funny with us. We act like we don't know what we've done. I don't get that. Yes, you do. This is where we got to be shrewd as Christians. When people are like, I just don't understand. Yes, you do. And you got to let them know that. Yes, you do, brother, sister. This is what we need to be better at. Jesus is giving this parable. He said, when? What shall I do? For my Lord takes away from me the stewardship. I'm about to get fired. I cannot dig. I can't do manual labor. And to beg, I'm ashamed. He understood the situation. My behavior is going to cause me to lose my job, and I cannot do manual labor, and I'm too ashamed to beg. Look at this next verse, verse 4. I am resolved what to do quickly, keenly, astutely, shrewdly. He was aware. I know what I'm going to do. That when I am put out, so there's no question about to be put out. You see that again? When I'm put out of the stewardship, I'm about to get fired with a capital F. When I'm put out of the stewardship, they, may receive me into their houses. I need a place to go. When I'm put out. And here's what he did. So he called, verse 5. Amen, if you're with me. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him. He still, listen, is in a position of authority. He is still a steward of his master's goods. He has the authority, the bandwidth, the capacity to make deals. Here's what I would do. I will call my Lord's debtors, every one of my Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? How much you owe my boss? And he said, 100 measures of oil. He said unto him, take that bill and sit down quickly and write 50. You just got a 50% discount. Congratulations. Then he said to another, verse 7, how much owest thou? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said unto him, take that bill, write 40. A score is 20. 40 is 80. You owe 100, you owe 80. Go your way. Have a nice day. Remember, My name's Gail Nelson. Just gave you that discount. I may call you soon. Y'all see what's happening? From 100 to 50, from 100 to 80, he's still in charge. He's still in the stewardship. And the Lord, here we go. The Lord, that's small L, his master, the owner, the one these people were indebted to. His manager, the steward, is just the manager, the administrator. The Bible says, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Translate that, because he was shrewd, he was keen. He had good practical understanding of what he needed to do. And the Lord commended the unjust steward. because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser, more shrewd than children of light. I could stay, I could preach this for 2 hours right here, this verse. Jesus is saying in this parable, in response to being criticized for keeping company with sinners, that there's people in this world that are more astute, more keen, more in touch with practicality than children of God. For people seize business opportunities. People understand the power of relationships. And we sometimes are like, I just want to be pleasing to God. But you realize you're scaring everybody else around you. So maybe you could don't compromise what you mean, what God means to you. Don't compromise what the word says. But make sure you recognize that God does not want us to be walking around like robots on the way to heaven. We have to deal with people. And we got to deal with ourselves first. The man knew himself. I can't do manual labor. And I'm too proud to beg, so you know what? While I will use what I have, here's the main point. I will use what I have while I have it to make sure that I prepare for the next step. I prepare for the future. Let's analyze the parable. I just gave it to you in summation, but let's go ahead and analyze this. The parable. Steward was wasteful. He wasted his master's goods. He was dishonest with what did not belong to him. Fact. He was an unjust steward. That's why it's a parable of an unjust steward. He had to give an account. But not only did he have to give an account, he knew where he stood. And so again, brothers and sisters, please let's not get to the point in our lives, and we've done it maybe from time to time, where we act like we don't know what's really going on. And then we throw, and it's something called manipulation for secondary gain. Let me say it again, a psychological term. Manipulation for secondary gain. You act a certain way to get something else that you want, but you don't say the truth. I think we may did a workshop on this topic. Because people read, the world reads us. The same Paul that talked about giving an account and stewardship, and that same Paul to the same congregation at Corinth says, people read us like a book. People read us like a book. And sometimes we overcompensate on being righteous that we forget about just the practicality of humanity. That does not mean compromise. It means awareness. Jesus sitting there, all these sinners, we don't know what the sinners were doing, but he was in the company of sinners. Not condoning their behavior. But he's like, these are souls. And if you ever go to a football game, there's no Christian section, by the way. Everybody watching the football game, yeah, go team. We're over there like, thanking God. I mean no harm, but we got to be practical. The steward had to give an account. The steward was wasteful. The steward made a shrewd determination. I am resolved what to do while I'm still in the stewardship. He obviously gave everybody discounts, and the commendation, the master did not commend him for his dishonesty. Lying is still a sin. Dishonesty, obviously, is still a sin. The purpose of this parable is we need to be good stewards of our time, our talent, and our treasure. We need to be practical and human. Jesus was criticized by these Pharisees for keeping company with sinners. Now, let's fast forward a little bit. Because these same Pharisees, brothers, Luke chapter 16, stay in Luke 16. After he gives this parable, let's see if the Pharisees change their mind. Luke 16, verse 14, brothers. Luke 16 and 14. Listen to this.
And the Pharisees also, who were covetous.
And the Pharisees who were covetous, so they were greedy.
Heard all these things.
Heard what Jesus said about everything about, you know, being good stewards, being shrewd. You can't serve two masters. That goes into some later verses. Can't serve two masters. Make friends. And Jesus says, make friends of the unrighteous mammon. People get confused with that. Jesus saying, basically, be practical. Jesus didn't say steal, be dishonest, but we're in this world. We're going to transact business. We're going to come into contact with sinners. Be human, be practical, but don't compromise the word of God. Jesus says, if you make friends along the way, and I'll give you some extreme examples. I got business associates, people that I work with, in one case, work for. had nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but because of my relationship with him. He was sitting there in a pew not long ago, years ago, pre-COVID. There's a man whose lifestyle I certainly don't agree with, because he's homosexual. And he's walking around saying, you know Gail's a pastor? You know Gail's a pastor? Y'all hear what this say? Certainly don't condone. The Bible speaks clearly against homosexuality. But because of my humanity, we want to go ahead and condemn certain sins. And because of my humanity, he's like, he's going, I'm in advance. He's like, you know, Gail's a pastor. I'm like, he's doing more publicity than some saints. Relationships. You never know what opportunity we're going to have. And see the final point on the screen. Our view is eternity. We make friends along the way. Our view is that eternal home. That's where we're going. The steward, the unjust steward, while he was a steward, I need a place to go. He was commended, in case you missed everything I just said, he was commended. The man thought big picture. He planned now for what was yet to come. We are planning for eternity, and we got to act human now, come into contact with as many people as we can, influence them for the cause of Christ while we can. He was shrewd. He was keen. He was astute. And he said, I need a place to go when I'm put out of my stewardship. And he commended, but he was commended in verse number 8. Look at verse 9. And I say unto you, Jesus says, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, that they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Our goal is eternity. He's saying the end game is eternity. So make friends along the way. Treat people right. You may have, throughout history, there have been heathens, heathen kings, that gave way to God's people. It's called favor. Jesus grew in favor with God and man. Some of y'all know it. Luke chapter 2. So as we close out this morning, our faith has to be put on trial. Not faith in the context of I've never done wrong. We know we all have sinned. But this trial we're talking about is a trial of our faith. Greek word, dokime, to test, to examine, to approve. We talked about this last Sunday night. We're going to go through some things. Even for our faithfulness, we're going to go through some things. And that's why we had a series of lessons on judging. Righteous judgment is what we should do. Taking heed of ourselves. Because there's fault finding in the Lord's church. That needs to stop. We study together, we reason together, but no fault finding. There's no place for that. Philipsis, persecution, anguish, burden, trouble. We're going to go through some things, all of us. But let's not put on some facade. Let's be real. Let's be authentic. Let's be transparent. That's what Jesus is talking about. And saints, that phrase, the children of this world are wiser, are more shrewd than children of God. Work on it in your personal lives, on the job, in your home. Be intentional. Talk to each other at home. Like, wait a minute. All of us can be on time for everything else. Why are we always late for service? Have that conversation. And we mask it sometimes. Y'all just pray for me. Okay, there's a time for prayer. There's a time for action. Amen, saints. I tell you, all of us will be better when we start talking more intentionally to other people. And you're going to find out that everybody's not as shrewd as you think they are. Our faith has to be put to the test. The reason I had to be quick this morning, because I don't think y'all could handle any more of this. It hit me right between the eyes. God expects us to be faithful. In Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 7, the Bible says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? God suffers. God knows we have to go through some anguish and some tribulations on this earth. But the Bible says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. God will have the final say. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Because the trial, the judgment that we all must stand before, that final judgment, Jesus says in John chapter 12, beginning at verse 47, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We just don't know when we'll take our last breath. As many of you have heard, I lost my executive assistant of 6 years. She passed away at 10:27 p.m. on Monday night. She sat here 4 times. And we've had deaths in my family. She was right in over in that section over there. Relationship. Didn't obey the gospel, but was there for her boss, but her friend. How people respond to you and me. And I want you to take a good inventory of how people respond to you and how you respond to people. Because we're going to face judgment. And now I'm working with her sister. We got a ceremony we're going to have on Thursday. A little sit-down dinner just to remember her. A memorial service, if you will. And her sister said, "You're just so kind. I'm just being a child of God." So we just don't know the impact we have on people. Jesus says, "I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. But the word that I've spoken, the same will judge you in the last day." So brothers and sisters and visiting friends especially, saints, we got to be more shrewd, not harsh, not conniving. No. Understand the situation, and that situation begins with you and me. If you're struggling with something, make it known. Don't mask the context. If we have the context, then we can deal with the results. Amen. And that's what God calls us to do. God's plan of salvation is clear. So pray for the family of Lourdes Ray, the late Lourdes Ray, my dear friend. We must hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. When he hung on that cross, not a bone of his body was broken. We break the bread, but not a bone of his body was broken. They came to Jesus in John chapter 19. After they broke the legs of the first and of the second, he stood in the midst. John chapter 19, about verse 34 and following, give or take. Paraphrasing for time's sake and clarity. But the Bible says, when they saw that Jesus was dead already, they break not his legs. But a soldier with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. In order for our sins to be remitted, Hebrews 9 and verse 22, we must come into contact with the blood of Christ. We must come into contact with the blood of Christ. Hebrews 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So there was no broken body, but there was shedded blood. In order to come into contact with the water, the blood, you must go to the water. After you've heard and believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you've got to believe with all your heart. You repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, and then you're immersed in water. That's when you come into contact with the blood. Blood remits, sends away our sins. We rise up to walk in a brand new way of life, being faithful, being shrewd when we need to be. Always forgiving, always loving. But we got to be shrewd when we need to be. You show me an elder that's not shrewd, you need to sit down. Show me a man that's not shrewd in his family, you need to sit down. Show me a single mama that's not true. Show me a sister that's not true. And I'm telling you, people will take advantage of you. Meekness is not weakness. So today, now don't you go to your car. You've been in your way to this all your zone. Go to your car like, now you're going to open the door for me today because my preacher said be shrewd. Now be careful with all this. Be careful with it. Understand the situation. Use wisdom. That's what the Bible's talking about. Because the one who gave the parable is tenderly calling us. Jesus wants us to know that when people criticize you for what you do or how you live as a child of God, don't be mad. Be shrewd. Be surgical. Sit down with them. Get to know them. And God will give us a pathway to teach them the gospel. Then it's on them on what they do with it. But the lesson is yours. I pray to God something was said today to encourage you to be better, especially those who are outside the body of Christ. Jesus is tenderly calling. He's not going to make you do it. Same qualifications for an elder. Jesus is not going to be overbearing and say, you will obey the gospel. You make a conscious decision on where you want to spend eternity. But where you spend eternity is predicated upon what you do now. His lesson is yours. Jesus is calling. If you need to respond, those on Zoom, go ahead and put your information in the chat, your prayer requests. And I pray to God that something is said, that we will all be better. If you need prayer, ask for it while we have the opportunity, as we together stand, as we together sing. Jesus is tenderly calling. Won't you come?
Time. Jesus.